Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished entrepreneur and professional from Singapore, Mr. Balaji Venkatesan. Balaji, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashutosh. Thanks a lot for the invite, and thanks a lot for that.
Thank you. Balaji is the co-founder of Ability. He's the co-organizer of the Singapore Futurists, and he's a passionate advocate for longevity, transhumanism, and rationality. So, Balaji, first tell me about your own journey in brief before we talk about Ability.
So, I grew up in Coimbatore, and after I finished my degree, I kind of started a lot of small ventures. Almost 40 different small ventures. Wow. Over 8 years, from 92 when I finished my degree to 99 when I left to Singapore. So I was very good at starting stuff, coming up with new ideas, and the enthusiasm to start was very high. But I didn't know how to run those things, and invariably it kind of got me into enough debt. And I had to decide by 99 that I had to make some change to how I'm operating. And I also was feeling a little claustrophobic in Coimbatore. I wanted to get the big exposure. And Singapore was an option that came up because a couple of my relatives were there. They invited me to go there. And so that got me to Singapore. And I was lucky to work for this amazing company called International SOS in Singapore for over 10 years. And where I did a lot of, tech building for emergency medical assistance, which was an amazing experience. And International SOS was truly cosmopolitan. If you go to a meeting room, there'll be like 5-6 countries. So that was the exposure International SOS gave me. After about 10 plus years in International SOS, I started a company called Nudge Labs, which was focused on behavior change. The idea there was, while some of the existing social media at the time was a lot more focused on getting your attention like it is today, nothing has changed. And, but they were using very interesting principles of behavior change. So my goal was to try and use it for improving what people wanted to actually do, but find it difficult to do. And did that for a few years. Ended up working for Zulich Pharma to head their digital health product management. And by 2016, I left. Went traveling to the US to understand how startups work and what can be done. And started another company before Ability, crashed and burned. And then Ability. So
they say the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about Ability and what was your inspiration to start it?
So one of our current co-founders, Ashutosh, my friend's brother-in-law. And I was in New York and we kind of got connected and we had an instant chemistry upon the first Zoom call. And when I came back to India, I spent many months in the school. At that time, my previous startup is closed. So I was looking to do something and we were exploring, what is happening in the school. And one thing that struck us was that there are a lot of kids in the classroom who have challenges, who are not doing well, providing individual attention to the children were not possible in a classroom of 40. One, it was not possible. Two, the awareness was not there as to what was even the challenges. So we said, hey, this is a really interesting area to work on because, all of us have experiences in our own schooling where we have some challenges and then it was not, we don't know about it and people who were supposed to didn't know about it. So we thought maybe this is a good area to work on. And this is, we know this is a long-term game. So we said, yeah,
Interesting.
let's get
And
into it.
tell me, Balaji, what are some of the specific challenges in special needs education that you identified and that you're addressing through Ability?
So, I mean, one of the, even though we kind of started focusing on special needs initially, what we realized was that a lot of special needs even doesn't even get diagnosed, right? We've heard stories of people diagnosing ADHD when they're 40, right? And there is this continuous, sorry, I mean, there is this, undiagnosed or invisible challenges that exist. Right, in terms of cognitive or physical challenges, right? People, don't realize it, the teachers or the parents don't realize the child has low vision or a hearing problem for many years, right? So this, we have heard stories of this a lot. And but besides this, there are also other challenges. For example, a kid from a first generation, like coming to school for the first generation, troubled homes. All sorts of emotional issues kids face. So we didn't want to restrict ourselves only to special needs. We want to address any challenges the child faces, right? And of course, there are a lot of challenges with our much, much larger and macro, but within reason, what a school could do is what we are focused on.
Fascinating. And you are a person who's understands technology and who's done a lot of work in technology. Could you explain to me the technology behind Ability and how is it benefiting students?
Actually, we kind of start with very low tech because what we thought was the first thing before building a product is to know the people who would use the product. So our first five, I mean, we are 5 years old now, and so far we have focused largely on building the community. So our community is now in about 80 countries. About 150,000 teachers and parents and therapists in the community. And what we realized was that, I mean, if you go into a school with Ashutosh, our co-founder, being running a school also, we observe a lot of tech that comes into the school, but for the tech to be used fully is very, very challenging, right? There are a lot of white elephants. So our approach is to be an orchestrator of tech rather than be the tech itself, because there are so many amazing people working on solving individual problems. But
Interesting.
what we need to do is to kind of bring all this together, right? Bring coherence to the technology was what is our direction. And we have built some tech, but those tech are nothing complex. They are very simple. Tech to organize events and manage the community.
Well
Right.
said.
So that's our approach to tech so
Very
far.
well said. And Balaji, did you face any obstacles when you were looking at integrating tech into special education through Ability?
Yeah, I mean, I think, we did build a platform first, which was one of our, first attempts a few years ago. And as we implemented, that's kind of when we realized, like some of the stuff that I said earlier, that building tech is actually quite easy. Using tech is not, particularly if it is part of a very complex workflow and multiple stakeholders are involved. And building a tech for one school may not work for another school, right? If you don't go very deep and understand exactly what's happening. So yeah, this is a very, very challenging issue. But I think with the future tech, it would become easier. Getting everyone to adopt is extremely challenging.
Very interesting. There's also, you just spoke about people coming to school for the first time. And therefore, and this is a platform that you have created for a global, set of audience, if I can use the term. How do you address in Ability the digital divide that exists? I mean, Singapore, for example, everyone must be aware of technology, but other countries, they may not be. How do you address the digital divide and ensure inclusivity across different socioeconomic backgrounds?
Yeah, this is when we built this, even though we are global, our focus is in the developing world. So our biggest communities are in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Philippines, Nigeria. English speaking developing world is our focus. And what we have seen, and pandemic was a very good evidence for how many people were able to access tech in all these places. For example, in India alone, when we do our events, people from over 450 cities have attended our sessions. Really, so many places that one would never have heard of, coming to the platform and attending. So I think the mobile infrastructure is amazing, and it's becoming better and better everywhere. So I think our goal is to reach the nooks and corners of the country because, for example, in Bangalore, there may be a special educator if somebody has a speech issue, so they could bring their child to a speech therapist pretty easily. But if I am in Damtari, for example, in Chhattisgarh, I may not have a speech therapist. Right. So our job, what we thought as our job was to bring anyone in Damtari who is, who wanting to become a speech therapist or a teacher or someone, but learn from the best speech therapist. And by doing this again and again and again, you actually uplift the skill level across the board. And I think it is like a human problem, right? A skill problem, right? If you look at US, to get the time of someone is very expensive. Here we could get the time of someone, but the skill of someone is very rare. So if we address that, I think we would fix this divide very easily.
What a great response. Thank you. And how do you and your team members engage with educators and parents to continuously improve the offerings of Ability?
So the big challenge in this space is the awareness is very, very low. The awareness of the children facing challenges, the types of challenges they face, the implications of those challenges, and what to do to address those challenges is very, very low, right? It is not just low in a place like India. It is also low in Singapore. It's also low in US, where so much government funds are spent in this. Right. So we try to address this awareness and basic skills issue as our top priority for now. Right. This has been our focus for the last 5 years, and this will be our focus for a long time to come while we build other offerings. So largely, we provide workshops and training sessions for teachers and for parents. That's our, main services today. And we work with, for example, last year we worked with about 1,500 schools in India. And this year we are planning to expand that to a larger degree. And we want to address parents from all of these schools as well so that we can raise the awareness of these challenges. And once the parents and teachers understand these challenges, it's amazing, right? It changes the game. For example, we were speaking to a school who have been attending our events for a couple of years now. And the principal of that school said something really interesting. She said, our teachers now start to own these kids. Previously, when there is a child with a challenge, they would be sent to the principal or to the counselor or, it's like, hey, this is not my problem type of attitude because I don't have the skills or the knowledge. But once they learn, because teachers have the heart in the right place,
Correct.
most teachers have. Right. And once they realize this, they start to own, they kind of be more empathetic. They start to, one of the principles we say is like, don't damage, don't, cause harm, right? Like Hippocrates' oath for education, right? For as a teacher, do not cause harm. And then if you can help, that's great, particularly for children with challenges. And I think just awareness is doing that already. Right, people get exposed. That's, and I think the same thing with parents. If both of them know, I think it's magical for the kid.
Fascinating. And my last question relating to ability before I move to your other avatar as a futurist, what is your vision for the future of special needs education?
So like what I feel is like, let's say if I had like power 10, right, and I was living 300 years ago, I'm blind for all purposes and I'm at home, right, needing support all the time. But now I can walk into an optician, get a glass, and if I'm on the bus, nobody even get up to give me a seat, right? I'd be treated as equal as anyone. I think this is what will happen to every kind of challenge we have, right? Which is also a very good segue into our next section. So I think technology is going to make a such a big difference. Like already we are seeing companies like Neuralink, right? So we'll be able to interface with the brain. We'll be able to, a lot of these problems will look so silly in a few years, is what I think.
Great response. So, as you said, your response is a great segue to my next set of questions, which is you as a futurist. As the co-organizer of Singapore Futurists, tell me a little bit about Singapore Futurists and what are some of the technology trends you're currently focusing on?
So, Singapore Futurist was started like 2007, 2008. And initially, we started it as the Singapore Transhumanist Group. We kind of realized it's too early for everyone, and we changed it to Singapore Futurist. And we look at all emerging tech, from AI to self-driving cars to crypto to longevity to all sorts of emerging tech that would have profound impact on how we live our lives.
And how do you envision technology shaping humanity's future in the next decade?
Right. I think like you know the like they say, prediction is a dangerous business. So with so many different pieces of technology coming together, how in what sort of concoction it would create is very hard to predict. And I but I we know life will be very different in 10 years than today.
That's true.
We know that we have to be very agile and nimble about how we think and how we act. Because from politics to individual lives, everything is going to be impacted positively or negatively through this tech. So yeah, I think
Well said.
profound is all I could
Well said. You also told me that you started this as for something called transhumanism. Now, I don't know what that is, but can you explain the concept of transhumanism and how it influences your own worldview?
So, there is always, I think human beings have always tried to go beyond what we naturally got, or probably it was part of the nature for us to go beyond. So the idea of transhumanism is to use science and technology to accelerate, longevity, to accelerate health. Longevity without health is pointless, to accelerate well-being, right, and to kind of address any issues that whatever is causing our suffering, can technology change it, is the idea of transhumanism.
Wow.
And at some point of time we will meld with technology is the direction. We are wearing glasses and pacemakers and plates. It will just get more.
Well said. Balaji, what are some of the common misconceptions that you encounter from time to time when it comes to futurism?
I think there is this view that things will always get better, but it is not, that's a pretty risky assumption. I mean, both, right? Things will always get worse, or things will, there are people who believe in, like, have a very strong nostalgia about lives they have not lived, right? Like, a few hundred years ago, it was all hunky-dory, or that things will always get better. I think both are very bad myths. And you know, it could go anyway is how one should think about it, and there is a huge responsibility to think like that.
Well said. So, time for two more questions. My next question is that how do you maintain a balance between technological advancements and ethical considerations in your futurist discussions?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is you know, very connected to my previous question is because it's very, very hard to fully understand the implications of tech. Like social media, for example, on one side it has done a lot of great things, but it also causes so many anxieties to kids. It takes away so much time from everyone, potentially leaving them worse off before they started. So technology is a double-edged sword. And at least so far, our experience has been for every bad thing, there are 10 good things the same tech has produced. So, but would it continue to be so? It's hard to say. So one of the reasons we actually started the Singapore Futurist Transhumanism is that this could go in any direction, right? If you have like a dictator having power, access to great technology, you have no way of uprising. You know, so it's not necessarily always great. It is, you know, it doesn't have any benign intent inside itself. It is our job as citizens and as the species to really be aware of what is happening and actively shape it, not be a passive consumer of tech, but be a, you know, think deeply, understand deeply, and be part of this shaping of tech, I think, which is extremely critical.
Very well said. And my last question to you, Balaji, which is, and this is for the many people who will listen to our conversation, and this is to you as an entrepreneur, you know, and you told us right in the beginning that you went through many, many ways to start something. Those didn't necessarily work in Coimbatore till you landed in Singapore and then started Ability. What would you say are three lessons that you have learned as an entrepreneur that our viewers and listeners can take back from your journey?
Right. I mean, I think yeah, maybe one I would say is like we have to include more than ourselves and our family in how we think about life. You know, and we are living an amazing life compared to the kings of only a couple of hundred years ago. Is because of the amazing work so many people have done. And just be a passive consumer of that, you know, it's not right.
Well said. And on that note, and your wonderful lessons, you know, include more than yourself and family in whatever work you're doing, and so can be a passive consumer of a lot of the stuff that our predecessors have done. Thank you so much, Balaji, for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for speaking to me about eBility. I think what you are doing for children with special needs is incredible. And thank you for everything that you're doing for children of special needs around the world. Thank you also for talking to me about futurists and transhumanism. I had not heard of transhumanism. I learned something new from you today. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thanks a lot, Ashish. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.